All right, so this morning I get the privilege of introducing our first interview candidate for the senior minister position, and that is Kevin Knight. Of course, many of you already know him really well as our youth and family minister for the last 5 years, and you know firsthand his love for young people, obviously, as our youth and family minister, but his heart for families and also his commitment to this congregation. We're so thankful to have him and Chris with us and as part of our Eastside family. Many of you probably also know that Kevin has been in ministry for a good portion of his career time, in fact, for nearly 30 years. But you may not know that nearly half of that, about 13 years, was not as a youth minister. In 2003, while serving as a youth minister in Missouri, he was asked to come be the preaching minister at the Eielson Church of Christ in Alaska. While there, he preached regularly, taught Sunday and Wednesday classes, helped lead congregational planning, and carried a wide range of pastoral and ministry responsibilities. He also began simultaneously working with a house church in Delta Junction. In 2011, he moved to Delta Junction, where he worked planning a church there and stayed there until 2016. Kevin has done a phenomenal job here at Eastside with a huge focus on deepening our teens' relationships with Jesus and each other, as well as doing pastoral care of teens, families, and others beyond just his youth and family ministry. So please join me in welcoming Kevin this morning.
Thank you, brother. Love you. Good morning, church family. Please turn to Philippians chapter 3. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are here. We're glad that you're here with us. Hope this is a special day for you. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are watching online as well, on live stream. As most of you probably know, as he just said, this is my official interview. And I was told by several people, you don't have to do a Mother's Day sermon. And I noticed, no names will be included to protect the guilty. I noticed all of them were guys that said that. So I am going to say happy Mother's Day. And this is going to be somewhat of a Mother's Day sermon. But it's really for all of us and how to honor our mothers. So again, welcome to you this morning. And guys, you can pay me later for not naming names. Would you turn to, let's read from Philippians 3. If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. This is Paul writing. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So Philippians 3, Paul starts off here by talking about how he, if anyone, could have confidence in the flesh. He kind of goes over his resume, so to speak, but he says he gave all that up for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord. It is by Christ we are saved, not any supposed righteousness under the law. Again, he gives his credentials. He's a Jew. He's a Hebrew, of the tribe of Benjamin. In Acts 23:6, it says he was the son of a Pharisee. Here in Philippians, he mentions that he is a Pharisee. He's the son of a Pharisee. In Acts 22, it says he was taught by Gamaliel, who was one of the most prominent teachers of the law at that time. And in Galatians 1:13-14, he says he was advancing in Judaism and he was zealous for the traditions of his fathers. He was the Jew of Jews. And to Jews, the biggest thing you could do is follow the law. They were the people of God and they were the ones given the law. The problem is, how do you interpret it? We know it says this, but what does it mean? If it says don't work on the Sabbath day, well, what constitutes work? Because we don't want to accidentally work and make God angry. So let's talk about how we interpret this and let's define it. And so over the years, they would debate and they would talk and they would figure out what it meant was to work or not work on the Sabbath day. And they passed those on as traditions. And unfortunately, their traditions became as heavy as the law itself. And what started as good intent was taken too far, and it actually became divisive. And people with different interpretations and different ideas formed groups, and you had the Pharisees, and you had the Sadducees, and there were the Zealots, among other groups. These subgroups would debate with one another on how best to follow the commands. So the command, honor your mother. I know it's actually honor your father and mother, but it's Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. So we're going to talk about honoring mothers. You can also honor your fathers, but we're going to talk today about honoring your mother. So if we're thinking in the law, in their mindset, it says this, but what does that mean? How do we best honor our mothers? Maybe at that, how do you honor your mothers? Maybe if you're young, you're thinking, well, I should probably go clean my room. If you're a teenager, you're probably thinking, maybe I should roll my eyes less, have less attitude. No, you're probably not thinking that. But maybe you should. And today you'll buy flowers and a card and honor your mom that way. Maybe adult children are thinking, I should continue in the way they raised me. Wait, adult children? I've searched the scriptures, and I can't find an expiration date on that command. My mom's been gone for 11 years. I'm still a son. I don't know how many times I practice this. I'm a son and she's still my mom. How, now that she is gone from this earth, how do I honor my mom? I don't think about my mom every day. My sister posts, I think about you every day. I don't, and I'm sorry, Mom. But I do know that every day the way I live my life is a reflection of how she raised me and what she taught me. She was the one that was our spiritual rock in our family. My dad wasn't even a Christian until I was about 10. She was the one that made sure we got to church and that we knew about God and Jesus. She is the one who encouraged my dad to go to church decades before he became a believer. She got us kids up and would get us ready on Sunday morning and make sure that we were there at Bible class. She talked about Bible stories when we were kids. She would read to us at home. She told us how important it was to have faith, and she modeled that in her life, and she is the one who pointed us to Jesus. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 10, again, Paul says that I may know Christ. He wants to know Christ better. He doesn't want a superficial level. He wants to know him deeply. So much that he says, I want to know Christ, the power of his resurrection, that I may share in his sufferings and become like him in his death, that by any possible means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead. Paul says, I want to know Christ, and he's pointing the Philippians to Christ, and that's what my mother did for me. She pointed us to Christ. She wanted to know Jesus better. She wanted to know more about him. She continued to learn and grow in her faith, and she wanted that for us. So one way for me to honor my mother is to continue getting to know Jesus better. And I imagine the same goes for you. My mom was lovely, and she was fun, but she could be stern, and she was quick to correct. She was much quicker than I am to correct. I remember asking her once, I was probably in junior high, that's what we used to call middle school. I said, Mom, what if there isn't a God? And immediately, I was expecting that quick correction. I guess there are some questions you maybe shouldn't say out loud. At least that's what I thought. Her response was calm and had great wisdom. And that is what she said. I would hope that you would want to be a kind and generous and loving type of person anyway. And I nodded because that made sense to me. So I think it's safe to say continuing to honor my mom, to continue honoring my mom, I need to continue growing in my love for God and for mankind and growing in my faith. Because that not only honors my mom, it also honors God and it honors Christ and it honors the Holy Spirit as well. Thank you. So it's a good answer to continue growing in your faith. But how do you do that? I, like Paul, was raised a Pharisee. Not a Jewish Pharisee, but very similar to a Pharisee's mindset. It did give me a great love for the Word of God. But our interpretation was better than everybody else's. And we were the only ones who had all the correct answers. And while we couldn't earn our way to heaven, we needed grace. Grace was only extended to those who, like us, had all the right answers. Sounds a lot like the Pharisees. I was taught what I was taught, and as a kid, you believe it and you follow along, and I was following along my church's traditions, and I heard the same things over and over and over, and it was reinforced every week, which resulted in me having more confidence in my church's doctrine than I had in Christ. And that's problematic. You probably know the term confirmation bias. And social media runs on confirmation bias. You like something and it shows you more of what you like because humans like to see the same things and they like what makes them happy. So if you like it, they'll show it again and again and again, and you're all of a sudden you're seeing all of the same things. Do we do that with church? Are you coming to church to hear your confirmation bias, or are you coming to be challenged, to grow? Do you want a simple pat on the back and good job? Or do you want your toes to be stepped on if they needed to? There are some things that should be repeated. Don't get me wrong. God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit and salvation in them and loving God and loving people. Those things should be played on repeat. But what about challenging ourselves to go deeper? What about loving our neighbors? And who really is my neighbor? And we read that parable, but do we apply it to us? And in what ways am I not loving my neighbor? And which neighbors do I not love because of lifestyle choices or the way they look? In what ways do my traditions get in the way of me loving my neighbor? In what ways do my traditions hinder me from growing closer to Christ? Are we willing to test traditions? Are we willing to question our understanding? Are we willing to challenge ourselves? What about looking at things from different angles? I've helped several teens learn to drive. That's youth ministry at its finest, actually at its scariest. But I can tell a teenager learning to drive to check their blind spots and they laugh. A mother tells them to check their blind spots and they yell at them to quit telling me what to do. Do we check our blind spots? Do we read scriptures that we traditionally pass over? When you think you have all the answer, it actually stunts growth. Confirmation bias stunts our growth. You may become really good at debating and arguing and making your point, but you don't become a better learner or listener. Paul says he counted all things as rubbish, as garbage for Jesus. All the things he was doing for himself, he says, it wasn't worth it. Whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ, Philippians 3:7. And from the message, verses 8 and 9, all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus, my master, firsthand. Everything I thought I had going for me is insignificant. He says, I threw it all away. And I, like Paul, had to come to a place where I was ready to give up my confidence in my opinion of what scripture meant. Not throw away scriptures, but in my opinion of what scriptures meant. To get to know Jesus better, I had to put away my presuppositions. I had to try and read with fresh eyes the story of Jesus, and I had to realize that Jesus was the only way. Not following my way of looking at scripture, not following rules, not following my traditions. Jesus is the only way. I had to come to a place where I could rely on Jesus and salvation through faith in him, because Jesus's life and teachings and death and burial and resurrection is the only way. He is the only way we can become righteousness. Are we willing to lay aside the traditions that may not align with scriptures like we once thought they did? Are we willing to even investigate or ask hard questions? The Sadducees and the Pharisees would come to Jesus at different times and they would ask him questions. And they ask him, the problem is they ask him questions they thought they already knew the answer to. And they weren't looking to learn, they were looking for confirmation bias. Or they were looking to point out how Jesus was the one who was wrong. And so they would come up with all these scenarios and these trick questions to try and trick Jesus into saying something wrong. One of these stories is in Matthew 22. And in verse 29, he says to them, "You're wrong because you neither knew scriptures nor the power of God." Ouch. The problem is they knew some scriptures and they knew some of the power of God, but they had twisted it in a way it shouldn't have been. And unfortunately, with Jesus' interaction in this part, they weren't convinced that he was right. When our understanding is flawed, as theirs was, we fail to understand things the way we should. It's easy to point to them and the Sadducees and see, how did you not see in the scriptures there was a resurrection from the dead? How did you miss that? But what is it that we miss? I was watching an argument about a year and a half ago, and I could see this side of the argument, and I could see, and I believe both sides were coming at it for positive intentions, but I could see things that this side missed, and I could see things that this side missed, and I'm thinking, How can you not see what you're missing? And how can you not see where you're going off the rails? And it had me ask myself, what about you? If it's easy for me to look at these two and say, you're missing something here, what am I missing that I can't see? And I believe their intentions were good, but they couldn't see their blind spots. And it actually led me to write some lyrics to a song. And I started with the line, "The best of misguided intentions." Do we have intentions that are good, but we're missing the point because we can't see? If I want to honor my mom, I need to be leery of confirmation bias. And I need to really dig into the scriptures and look at them honestly. And I need to learn from them. And I need to look in the mirror and I need to change that guy. I need to look closer. I need to think deeper. I need to challenge my presuppositions so that my life can be transformed to that of Jesus. We can't come to scriptures thinking we already know the story. We can't come thinking we have the answers already other than Jesus. And Paul actually admits this. He says he wants to know Christ, but then in chapter 3, verse 12, he starts off with an admission, "Not that I have already attained this." Even Paul knew he needed more. He needed to learn more. He needed to grow more. He needed to go deeper. And he follows that with, "I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own." And there's an important thing in there. It's important for us to see. We're not trying to do better. We're not trying to understand things better and come to a better understanding so that we can transform to Christ, so that we could earn salvation. We transform more to Christ because he has made us his own. It's because we have been saved. It's because of his love. It's because of the blessings we receive in Christ should motivate us to want to transform to him more. Dallas Willard said, "Grace isn't opposed to effort. It's just opposed to earning." We can't approach this like we're earning anything, but we should put effort into transforming to be more like Jesus. "I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made me his own." So Paul presses on and he strives for more and he dives deeper. The last several years, I've gotten to go to Cozumel on a mission trip. And man, when you stand on the beach and you see that water and the blueness of that water. I used to go to Six Flags and ride the water rides, and they would dye the water blue. And I'm like, there's no water in the world this blue. And then I went to the Caribbean. And God made water that blue. And it's incredible. And standing on the beach is amazing. And last year, Jeff and I got certified in scuba. And we walked out in from shore. We walked out with our gear on. And we sat down like 20 feet from the shore, and there's all these fish, all these beautiful colors. And then we ended up going out, I don't know, maybe 150 feet or so, and we're 30 feet down. And there was coral, and there was stingrays, and there were sharks, and there were turtles, and the most amazing fish of every color. And the further we went, the more incredible it got. And standing on the beach and looking at this is beautiful, and taking in that beauty is great, but there's so much more beauty to see if we'll go deeper. Maybe that's God's way of saying, there's a lot more to me if you will dive deeper. Standing on the beach isn't bad. Enjoy that when you can, but know that there's more to see. There's more to experience. God is bigger than we realize, and his love is greater than we know. His grace and love are deeper than we can understand. And Paul writes, "Forgetting what is behind and straining forward, I press on toward the goal," because there's always something more we can know about God. There's always something deeper. There's always something around the next corner or on the next page. The forgetting or letting go that he mentioned there was what he did to live for himself or live for the world. He says, I let go of that and I press forward. But then he says, hold on to what I've attained. Where he is now in the grace of Christ, hold on to that. Hold on to your identity in Jesus Christ. Hold on to the fact that God is for you. Hold on to the fact that you are loved by God and nothing can separate you from that. He prays in Philippians 1, he prays for those at Philippi. He says, it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And it sounds very familiar, that wording there, that it's my prayer that your love may abound more and more, because he wrote a very similar passage in Ephesians where he prays that the Christians in Ephesus could understand the height and breadth and depth and width of the love of God that is beyond understanding. It's like Paul is saying, you know the love of God, but you don't know really. There's so much more. Keep going deeper. Keep going farther. Keep pressing on. Keep going higher. Continue learning and growing and questioning and understanding. Paul wants more for himself. He's like, I press on towards the goal. And he wants more for them. You press on for the goal. Let your love and your knowledge of God's love increase and abound. And he wants the same for us, that our knowledge of God and our understanding of scriptures and our understanding of the grace of Christ, that it would abound more and more and more. And I believe it's not just Paul. I believe your mother would want the same thing for you. So don't be content. Keep growing. By growing in our faith, in the love of God and mankind, you will honor your mother and God and Christ and the Spirit. So read scriptures and ask questions. Ask honest and hard questions. Try to see things from a different perspective. Question assumptions. Check blind spots and go deeper. Yet hold on to what you've already attained and let Jesus and the Spirit guide you in that process. In Luke 24:45, it says that Jesus opened the apostles' minds to understanding scriptures. And in John 14:26, it says that Jesus says the helper, the Holy Spirit, would teach them all things. And in John 16:13, Jesus says the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Keep learning, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Hold on to what you know about God, yet keep growing. I don't know a better way for you to honor your mom than to keep growing in your faith and your love for God and love for mankind. And again, that also honors God the Father and Jesus the Son and the Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we become an example to one another. I want us to stand. I want us to pray. But I want to ask you as we pray, if your wife or your mother is here, gather around them and pray for them. If you're here and you know of a mom who doesn't have family here, gather around her and pray with her. It is an honor to be a mom. And God's given you a great responsibility. And God has given us a great responsibility as children of His to grow in our faith. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you for your love for us. Thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving us your Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us. And Lord, I'm thankful for my mom. And I'm thankful for the moms who are here, for moms everywhere who point their children to you. Help us to learn about you more and more. Help us to grow. Help us to always be seeking you, to understand your love and grace and mercy more and more and more, so that we can honor you and your Son and your Spirit, and we can honor our moms as well. Let's continue in prayer and song.